I actually landed here last Sunday, but because I knew Dow Richards' adoption was going to be official on Wednesday, which it was, we delayed his baptism until today. And I delayed this text. I reversed this text for today, this special occasion. And it's amazing how going through the Bible, preaching verse by verse, how you land on appropriate text for the occasion. So I'm varying from that practice a little bit because I'm backing up. But this Mark's Gospel chapter 10 is such an important chapter for life. If you're trying to figure out a lot of things in life, it's right here in Mark chapter 10. It tells you first about marriage and about what marriage, how important marriage is to God in the first part of the text. Here it talks about what comes after marriage, children, and the importance of children, which is my subject today. And then it tells you what I covered last week, what comes after marriage and children, possessions. Usually, it's something of the order of life. So I'm backing up from the biblical order, but I think you should pay attention to that when you read Mark 10. And my text this morning is just four verses rather from Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 13. Give your attention to the Word of God. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms. And he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Father, thank you for your infallible, inerrant word. Thank you for this precious teaching from the lips of the Lord Jesus. We pray that it would come into our minds, having been read, and then into our hearts. And Father, along with its exposition, be to us your word to us today. And we pray for this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Amen. It should be very obvious from Scripture that children are very important to God. When God made a covenant with Abraham, the father of all who believe, he made the covenant with him and his descendants. Blessed them. When Peter stood up on Pentecost and proclaimed the gospel, and when people heard the gospel and asked how they should respond to the preaching of the gospel, he said very boldly, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, for the promise is to you and to your children. As many who are far off, as many as believe in your name, as many as the Lord shall call." We call ourselves Covenant Church. I won't embarrass any of my catechism children right now. I won't put them on the spot. But this last Wednesday night at 6, we learned about the covenant. What is a covenant? And our child's catechism simply answers that question, that a covenant is an agreement between two or more persons. The first covenant that we emphasize is the eternal covenant of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who made a covenant, a promise, an agreement that the Son would come and enter into time and space and history in the person of Jesus Christ. And save a people for himself. We enter into a covenant with God when we come to him by faith. Jacob and Lisa, we saw, entered into a covenant with God about Dow Richard this morning to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. all of us who have come to Christ in faith and who have been baptized, if you were baptized on profession of faith, you made a covenant that you would be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you were baptized as a child, your parents made a covenant like Jacob and Lisa made this morning. They made a promise. And whether you came as a child or whether you came as an adult or a teenager to faith, it was God who fulfilled that unconditional promise to bring you to salvation. That is what covenant means. In the Old Testament, a covenant was ratified by sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. When you read in the Old Testament, you go through and you read that someone made a covenant, almost always in the Hebrew, the literal translation should be cut a covenant. And what they would do is they would take an animal and they would split the animal into two pieces, and they would walk through the animal and they would take an oath, a vow, like was administered today, that if anyone violates the terms of this covenant, then may this curse of death that this animal experienced be upon the people who violate it. It's a solemn, solemn vow. We're so glad that God is the one who fulfills the terms of the covenant. In Genesis, when God made a covenant with Abraham, Abraham is put to sleep. God goes through in a theophonic appearance, a smoking pot. He takes the terms of the covenant on himself. It is an unconditional promise in which he promised one day that his son, Jesus Christ, would come and fulfill what Abraham could not fulfill, what we could not fulfill, how we fail in our promises, either at our baptism or at our child's baptism. Somehow God takes that promise and he affirms it and makes it real and true and uses it for our salvation. We take those vows as parents, and we take them seriously to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to teach them all the truths of the Christian faith from childhood, that their testimony, and we hope and pray, might be that they will never know a day that they truly don't trust Christ. We hope and pray that they're like John the Baptist in their mother's womb, filled with the Holy Spirit. We hope and pray that this is true. But again, it is God who fulfills the promise and not us. Here in this passage, we see the importance of the covenant and we see the importance of the children of Israel. People were bringing their children to Jesus that he might touch them. They wanted their babies to be touched by Jesus, because they knew he was special and he was holy and that he could do something for them that was special. Now, in that ancient culture, children were viewed as a noisy annoyance. Sort of like today, right? Human nature doesn't change. They thought Jesus, the disciples, thought Jesus was too important to be bothered with little kids, with infants. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, gives us the added detail that they weren't just little children, they were infants that were being brought. Sometimes in the church, you have children running around making noise and causing trouble. And it bothers us. I'll tell you, it doesn't bother me in a bit. In fact, it may be a problem, but it's a bigger problem when that's not happening. Children are important. Our ministry to children is important. Jesus thought they were important. How important? Second point, verse 14. When Jesus saw what the disciples were doing, he was indignant. The disciples are rebuked by Jesus for trying to keep children away from him. He was angry and upset. Anything that keeps children away from the Lord Jesus makes him indignant. So important for us as parents, as leaders in the church, as members of the church who take vows, as we have just taken to assist parents in raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to take this seriously. Because we see the heart of our Savior about this matter in this text from the Word of God. Parents, we make decisions for our children all the time, and sometimes they're mad at us about them, but we make decisions for them. Jacob and Lisa made a decision to bring down Richard to the church and to raise him. He won't have a choice about who his parents are. Judge made that choice last week. Those of us who are adopted have the same thing happen to us, or those of us who are born into homes, into families, we don't have a choice in which family we are born into. God brings that about. Whether it's by birth or whether it's by a legal act of adoption, God is the one who does that. And when children are placed in the homes of parents, parents begin to make decisions for their children. We make all kinds of decisions, and we might argue that some of them are bad. Some of you children would certainly say that, but it's true nonetheless. We decide what you're going to eat, what clothes you wear, where you're going to school, what sports you participate in, whether you take music lessons or not, your course of life development is determined by your parents and what faith you're going to be raised in. We don't give our children an option when they're born into a Christian family. They're going to be raised as disciples of Jesus. And that's what we do when we bring them to Jesus in baptism. It is one of the reasons that children's ministry is one of the most important things we do. It's why it's so important. And to teach Sunday school. When you take that vow, one of the obligations of that vow is to teach children in Sunday school. Doug tells me we're still looking for a first grade teacher and a third grade teacher. You can see him afterwards in application of this message. You don't have to have the gift of teaching to teach children. You just have to be available. It's one of the reasons I was convicted about this several months ago. I looked at what's coming up in the text. I looked at this. I said, I need to be teaching children. I need to be teaching the children's catechism myself. And I do on Wednesday night at 6. We're having fun. Teacher may not be very good, but kids are having a good time. And if you want to come and help us, you can. Bring your children. Bring other children. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to the teaching of the Word of God. Children depend upon us for everything. There's nothing more helpless than a child. A child is completely and utterly dependent upon his parents or her parents for life. So That's what Jesus teaches here. Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. If you teach your children the gospel at home, the good news that Jesus died for sinners, you're not hindering them. If you help in the Sunday school by teaching, you're not hindering a child. You're bringing them to Jesus. If you help in the organization of Vacation Bible School, if you go on a mission trip or short term trip, if you go to Pakistan, what are the believers doing in every one of those places? They're ministering to children. It's so important. Volunteering, helping children, helping the next generation. It's the covenant. It's the promise that is to us and to our children, not just our own children. It's the children of the church. Just because you're done with your turn with your children doesn't mean you're done with children. Because Jesus is never done ministering to children. Neither should we be. And then thirdly, we see in verse 15 why this is true. Jesus makes it really clear in verse 15 that in order to come into His kingdom at all, you must become like a little child. The kingdom, again, is the rule of God in our heart and life. It is His rule over everything. Jesus says, if you are going to acknowledge my rule and know my rule in your life, you must become like a little child. You must submit to my lordship. When you offer, again, children can't live without their parents. Just think about how utterly dependent a child is. A child cannot survive for a day without a parent feeding, changing diapers, doing everything that's necessary for life. When they get sick, taking them to the doctor. All the things that are necessary for life. A child is completely and utterly hopelessly dependent. Jesus said, that's how you must come to me, into my kingdom. You can't perform any work on your own. In order to do that, you must come and completely and utterly depend upon Christ and what He has done. When you offer a child something, they'll usually take it, even if it's bad for them. That's why parents, you know, we don't just give our kids the sugar bowl, although they like that. That's all they would eat if we let them. We give them good things. And when you do give them a good thing, they just reach out and take it. Something they like, especially, they take it. That's what Jesus is saying the gospel is like. Here's the best thing in the world. Here's eternal life. Here's life in my presence forever. Here is a gift. Take it. Receive it. That's what the kingdom of God is like. He's saying the same thing here. He said to Nicodemus over in John's Gospel, chapter 3, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't get it. Maybe the disciples didn't get it. Sometimes we don't get it either. What does it mean to become like a little child? What does it mean to become like an infant all over again? It means to be utterly and completely dependent upon God for life. That's what Jesus teaches here. You must receive it like a child. Accept it take it for ourselves. Then we see in verse 16 that Jesus blesses the children. He took them in His arms and He blessed them. It's like we took a little Dow Richard. I got to, as a representative of the church, a minister of the gospel, one of the great privileges I get to do is I get to take that baby and put him in my arms. I have the privilege of administering the sacrament of baptism, of admission of a child into the fellowship of the church. What I can't tell you what a thrill that is and what a joy it is, whether it's a little child or whether it's a grown up who comes in full of years to faith in Christ. What a privilege. I'm a sinful man, saved by grace alone, given an office that I don't deserve, for that privilege of showing forth the person of Christ. That's what Jesus does for us, for our children. And we don't need to do that. Whether we do that in the church, I mean, it's important. The sacrament's important, but more important is what the truth that lies behind the sacrament. The spiritual truth is that we must bring them to Jesus, and we must come to Jesus, and we must understand that He takes us in His arms. And He puts His hand upon us, for those of us who believe and trust in Him for life, and He blesses us with life. In doing this, Jesus fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah, hundreds of years before Christ appears, prophesies of Him that He will be like a shepherd, and He will tend His flock. He will tend His flock in His arms. He will gather the lambs, and He will carry them in His bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Children are holy and special who are born into believing homes. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 14, where he teaches about marriage and children there in 1 Corinthians 7, important passage of Scripture. I encourage you to look at it. He says, your children are holy. Even one believing parent means your children are holy. Does that mean they are righteous? No. It means they're set apart. They have special promises given to them. Does that mean they're saved? No. They've got to come and make that covenant themselves. We can't do it for them. They've got to come to their own relationship with the Lord. They must. But there are promises for them. They are members. These little Jewish children that were gathered around Jesus, Jesus said they're His. They're mine. There are special promises to them. Don't stop them from coming to Me. And that is what He is telling us as a church. We are not to stop them from coming. We are to take them into the arms of Jesus. We were to put them into the arms of Jesus by faith and trust and all the means of God's appointment, as the vow says, and ask for His blessing upon them. I know, Jesus is not baptizing here. I know that. This is still the old covenant at this point. Baptism is going to come later. But when it does come, if you will look through Acts and 1 Corinthians 1, you'll notice that it's not just believers, it's their households that are baptized. God had changed His covenant operation from the Old Testament, where families, the children were, the male children were circumcised. and the female children were always washed and dedicated, he would have said so. I don't think God's truth of the covenant family doesn't change. It's a sign. Baptism, our confession says, is a sign and a seal of an inward work of grace. Do you have that grace today? Whether you were baptized as an infant or whether you were baptized on adult profession, I would ask you, has that promise that was made for you or made by you, has it been fulfilled by faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation? Are you looking to Him now for your salvation? And do you look for it to your children as well, to your grandchildren? Maybe some of you great-grandchildren. If not, then today is the day for you to put your faith and trust in Christ alone. Let us pray.